Hi, I'm Steve Clemens, and I have a couple of questions. Who's more electable, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? And which one can energize more voters? Let's get to the bottom line. They're both the front runners of their parties for the election next year, and they both are governing with the exact same popularity levels at this time in their presidency. About 40%, pretty low. Unless a major shift happens in the next few months, this is the choice Americans will have. Either Trump or Biden, two flavors of ice cream. On the one hand, a bully who's proud to be a bully and gets admiration from millions of Americans for his muscular anti-establishment attitude. And on the other, a middle-of-the-road liberal who's not afraid to call out white supremacy as, quote, the single most dangerous terrorist threat in our homeland. Both say they're fighting for the soul of the nation. So which way will Americans go and why? Today we're talking with Jason Miller, who served on Trump's last two presidential campaigns and just recently joined for the third time as a senior advisor. And Faz Shakir, a senior advisor to Senator Bernie Sanders, who served as campaign manager for Sanders' 2020 presidential campaign. Thank you both for joining me today. I've really been looking forward to this discussion. Faz, let me just start out with you. It does strike me, you know, if you know, you're out there looking at surveying the field right now, that you've got an 80-year-old president, you've got a 76-year-old contender and former president, an 81-year-old that you worked for. And I'm just sitting there saying, you know, we're watching 2 years before the election comes. Are any of these people going to be around in 2024? I'm just going to say it, folks. Age is in the back of people's minds, competence. I've never seen Bernie Sanders miss a beat. I can't say the same thing for President Biden. Haven't seen Donald Trump miss a beat. But if you're looking out there and you're to become an advisor, either to how the Biden administration can, you know, well position itself right now, given these doubts and concerns that he may not be there and his number two is a very, very unpopular vice president right now, Kamala Harris. How do you look at the field right now when it comes to age, well, when it comes to competence, when it comes to options?
This is going to be a very different election cycle than the last one, right? Needless to say, so Joe Biden will have to be aggressively campaigning in a way he wasn't.
This would be really, really cool if it's President Trump. You can put him on the line. He's done that before.
And there goes my last appearance on Al Jazeera. My sincere apologies.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It requires more physicality, Steve. You're going to have to get out and you have to hold campaign events. You have to move around the country in a way that 2020, quite frankly, wasn't because of COVID. And we hope that he's
That's right. When we had the last campaign, Joe Biden was in his basement, right?
It was a common argument and frustration of the Trump camp that he was out there holding rallies that many of us argued were unsafe and there was COVID going around the country. But that said, Joe Biden was not holding those kinds of events. In fact, Bernie Sanders was, as a surrogate, going out and doing car rallies and other kinds of things on his behalf. This time around, he's going to have to campaign. He's going to have physicality. He's going to have to be of a good, sane body and mind. I hope he is.
But I see in your eyebrows a little doubt.
Sure. I don't think there's any Democrat out there who's being honest with themselves who doesn't have that doubt. Of course you do. But you're going to have to buckle up. At the State of the Union, when you saw him, really, I thought, show his A game. You know, I thought he showed up with he's out there fighting with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. He's, you know, taking on the chamber. I thought that was probably his better moments. So he's got it in him, and I think he's going to need it on a more frequent basis.
Jason?
Yeah, I want to pick up on something that Faz said, because being a very smart operative, people want a fighter, and they want a fighter whether they're voting in the Democratic primary, in the Republican primary, or in the general election. They want to see that their leaders are actually doing something. People are sick and tired of the career politicians from both parties who have made problems worse over the years. But what President Trump has that, say, a Ron DeSantis doesn't, you can point to his 4 years. Say he delivered on the economy twice, actually. He delivered on crime. And actually on criminal justice reform as well. So we had folks from both sides of the debate who are embracing it. No new wars. Putin did not invade Ukraine. He invaded Ukraine under Obama, invaded Ukraine under Biden, did not under President Trump. And I think people saw that America was at a much stronger standing on the world stage. What we see now is feebleness, weakness. And once Biden completely botched the withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan, every leader, every adversary in the world had our number. So let's take a look at this week, for example. Rather than picking a fight, I'm speaking to President Biden right now, he's going off to Papua New Guinea, an ally, by the way. What fights are you picking in Papua New Guinea when we have these issues at the southern border, the Title 42 and the expiration there, inflation being out of control? Certainly, the war in Ukraine is not getting any better.
Debt ceiling, too.
And debt ceiling crisis. And he's off to New Guinea. So that shows a certain tone deafness, a certain disconnect, I think, with the American public, regardless of your party affiliation. And this is why I think Biden's going to have problems. If you're, say, if you're an African-American voter, Latino-American voter, a young voter saying, what the heck are these politicians doing? None of them deliver for us. Things are getting worse. But the president's off to New Guinea. That's a problem.
So let me ask you a bottom line question here, and I'd be really interested, and I don't mean to be offensive in any way, but Donald Trump lost the last election. He lost the election to President Biden. The Republicans didn't lose the midterms, but they did really much more poorly than anticipated. What in those trends makes you think that Donald Trump has any real chance of being victorious in a 2024 race?
Because it's different when President Trump is on the ballot, and that's when you actually get the Trump voters. And keep in mind that in 2020, President Trump did the best for a Republican nominee with African-Americans, Latino-Americans, Asian-Americans of any Republican since 1972. That tells you that he's changing the nature of the party. What Faz and Bernie Sanders have done with their efforts with regard to populism, unfortunately, has been overtaken by Joe Biden and the establishment folks in the Democratic Party. And so President Trump continues to change the Republican Party to be more of the working class party, whereas too many on the Democratic side have gone to the ivory tower liberalism with a real disconnect. President Trump driving these key coalitions. And again, the political gravity of inflation and the economy of where Joe Biden is, the fact that he doesn't actually excite anyone, President Trump has a great chance. And he also, there's a narrative here about day one. We don't have to wonder about what President Trump will do as president or how he might lead. He can go in on day one because we've seen him do it for 4 years. That's the difference between, say, Trump and, say, a DeSantis. Nobody's going to go to the Rolling Stones tribute band when the Rolling Stones are still performing. And so that's where I think they're going to go with Trump.
You know, it raises this interesting question. I did an interview, Faz, with then Vice President Biden in 2016 when he had decided not to run. It was clear the matchup was going to be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And he said the Democratic Party problem, he said this on the record, was that it had become a party of snobs. Yeah. Has it fixed that problem? One, do you agree with President Biden?
Yeah.
And has President Biden fixed the snob problem in the Democratic Party?
No, it's a generational fix. We got more years to work on this, Steve. But I do think that he comes into this election cycle with a better than 50-50 shot to win. I think the numbers tend to understate his strength. I do think that if Donald Trump is the nominee, he tends to be a motivator for a lot of Democratic voters, and you will see them get out. So while Joe Biden himself might have his own weaknesses of being a kind of enthusiastic, energizing candidate, he's always benefited from the fact that there's a lot of Democrats who are going to be out there just voting for him and voting against Donald Trump. I do think that to this issue of the snobbery that you're mentioning, I think that, you know, he's been hellbent. Joe Biden is somebody whose parents didn't go to college and didn't get a college degree. And you hear him talk frequently about, we're trying to deliver jobs through federal stimulus spending for people who don't have a college degree. And it's critical that that message get through to people. Obviously, not only that it get through, but also that they get those jobs. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to go to places like Georgia and Ohio and Pennsylvania and show that there's now a steel worker, an electrician who's working at a job doing electric vehicle construction or something that wouldn't have had that job before. I do think that that's going to be possible here, Steve, as those real world instances of people having those jobs across this country occur. I do think there's a chance that Democrats start to win back working class people who we've been losing to Donald Trump. That said, when we've lost those working class voters, Steve, the reason why Joe Biden's president is because they've gotten a huge amount of these suburban voters who are a bit wealthier, you know, better situated, class-wise, more likely reliable voters. So I think when Donald Trump looks at the turnout and he's like, hey, look at that, I got 10,000 people coming to a rally. How could I lose? Well, because there's a lot of people who just don't go to rallies. They're doing fine. They don't get to show up at rallies.
Let me ask you both. Where do race and identity and governing for a whole country as opposed to part of a country come in to your thinking and President Trump's thinking?
Well, I could say look at President Trump's record, where you had record low unemployment for every community across the board. Communities I've spoken about, people actually were able to pay their bills. They felt like their life, their standing, as far as their financial standing, was getting better. Now we've seen 24 months in a row of earning power of households going down in the U.S. So what Biden was trying
to do
there...
Because of inflation.
But again, that's because they're printing new money. essentially just out of control spending from the Biden administration, coupled with the
Add that Donald Trump added $6.5 trillion to the federal debt.
But you look at the way that the economy, he rebuilt it a second time, the way that the economy was growing, we're getting back on track after a global pandemic. And so President Trump can say not only did he build the greatest economy we ever had in the U.S., but he did it twice. But going back to how people are looking at this, what Joe Biden was trying to do there is he knows that his economic record is terrible. He knows he's seen the recent Washington Post ABC polling where it's not just rural voters, also suburban voters, have an unpopular view of Joe Biden and his handling of the economy. They don't think that Biden can fundamentally turn it around. And so people, if they want to have greater earning power, if they want to turn around this stagflation, they're going to want to go with Donald Trump. And I think that Biden's play to try to do the whole fear game isn't going to work when the economy is this bad.
But Paz, I mean, on this issue, and I've talked to senior Biden campaign or Biden administration officials for his campaign, and he wrote an article in The Atlantic on fighting for the soul of the nation, responding to what had happened in Charlottesville. So what Jason is talking about a lot of Black and Hispanic voters, you know, not majorities by any means, but, you know, there's somewhat of a shift. I don't know how to ask this. Is President Biden not making the case when it comes to race, inclusion, and opportunity? What do they see on the other side of the aisle? Where is that from your perspective?
As long as, you know, I think that as long as President Biden is making this argument that we are in a class solidarity fight together, regardless of race, regardless of ethnicity, that you are in this tent together. Sometimes we will see right-wing politics occasionally set to divide a working-class solidarity with each other, that the jobs are being taken away from you because somebody might be coming from a different country and or leaving prison and taking that job that is rightfully yours. That kind of stuff breaks up class solidarity. And I think Biden's in a pretty good place on this issue. If you polled on, democracy, just core democratic elements, core women's rights issue, core racial justice issues, he's going to win. The only issue that he's going to have to secure, that's why I think he's better than 50-50 to win this election, the only issue he has to shore up is the economy. The only way in which, I think, from my view, and Jason may disagree, the only way in which Donald Trump pulls off an election, which everybody knows the candidates, know him, 99 probably already know their vote going into this election, that the only way it does is if he loses on the issue of the economy. And Joe Biden's issue, major fight there is to make people feel that I am in an economic rebuilding that includes all people of all race and gender. This isn't just trying to shore up Black unemployment, which is at historically low levels. It is not just to secure Latino employment. It's to secure everybody's employment, regardless of race income, because that kind of class solidarity message will end up trumping, I think, an argument by the right that would have to make you feel like I'm a loser in this battle in which other people are gaining. I don't think it's true. The numbers just don't bear it out. The wage gains are really good at this time. Unemployment's historically low, but you got to get involved in that fight and explain that.
Jason?
Where I disagree on that, if you look, it doesn't matter whether it's internal polling or any of the other independent polling out there, somewhere between 69% and 72% of Americans, no matter how the question is asked, think things are going in the wrong direction. CBS asked it, are things out of control, which is an interesting way to go and frame it, not just the right track, wrong track, but in CBS polling, 72% said they thought the country was out of control. That's a historically terrible number. And that is a really, really bad position for Biden to be in. And to push back a little bit on what Faz said, if you look ahead to the next few quarters for Biden to turn around the economy, that's not what the Wall Street Journal projections say. That's also not what the Fed projections say. In fact, they say that later this year, they believe the U.S. will have a negative growth quarter. Think about that for a moment.
Right.
A negative growth quarter. That is devastating. That's then when you're going to start seeing the chain reaction, where it's not just inflation. Other indicators of the economy are going to start taking a real beating. But again, with President Trump, I think where he has a real opening and a real angle, it'll reach out to a number of these communities that, quite frankly, look, the Democrats should have Faz running everything. They'd be in much better position, but they don't. They have a lot of ivory tower liberals who have just bad ideas or making things worse for the working class in this country.
Well, let me just ask you guys a hypothetical here, and I'm going to tell our audience this is a real hypothetical. I have no inside knowledge, but if President Trump faces an indictment or is indicted in the Fulton County election meddling case for the 2020 race in Georgia, or proceedings are brought against him for managing classified documents or role on January 6th. Are those, you know, substantive, you know, elements that could take him out? And same thing, Faz, I'd love your thoughts on that. But at the same time with President Biden, you know, at his age and, you know, out there if something happened, I'm just interested in the fact that as we're looking at this race, it's really weird. You've got significant legal issues facing one of the, you know, potential. He would win the Republican primary if it were held tomorrow. Mm-hmm. President Biden would be the candidate if it were held tomorrow. But stuff could happen that removes both of them from the picture by 2024. And I'm just interested in how you see the country in the race if that were to happen. Well, one, how, do you guys sit around Saturday sessions and say, what if Jack Smith, you know, bring something forward?
No, and as we've seen the last two legal attacks on President Trump, whether it be Alvin Bragg, a district attorney in New York, or we saw what happened with the decision in Manhattan with E. Jean Carroll last week, President Trump's numbers have gone up both times.
I hadn't seen that. Have they actually increased after
Consult,
both cases?
Yeah, Morning Consult, mm-hmm. Their latest numbers show President Trump's numbers have increased over the past week from before the decision until afterwards. And a lot of it, when I think people saw President Trump on the stage in the CNN town hall, he looked presidential. He looked like someone who could go in to be a fighter, as Faz said. President Trump looked like a fighter on that stage, not just in the U.S., mm-hmm. but around the world. He could do it on day one much more strongly and much more effectively than the current president.
Faz?
Yeah, well, remarkably, I mean, he has consolidated the field, and part of it is because he does. There, Ron DeSantis or anybody else is unwilling to make a strident critique of him, and so to his credit, you know, he's basically consolidated everybody. And part of that is the fight and friction I'm talking about, Steve. Right? Is like there is a president, a former president, who enjoys being in fights and frictions, and you can see how it helps enervate and energize his base. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden isn't always that way, and I think it works to his political advantage sometimes because that suburban coalition is going to stay with him. He's restoring the soul of the country. He's kind of keeping things peaceable. Mm. We're going to disrupt government, bring chaos to the situation. That said, when you get into this election cycle, you're going to have to find moments of animating your argument. And you can't let Donald Trump just spend every single day on his front foot telling you what the issues of the country are, because we'll know he'll be picking issues in which he's going to be on his front foot. But like even on women's rights issues, I don't know that President Trump has landed on a position on abortion. You would, if you were Joe Biden, you would be out there making this argument on every single day, animating this. Where's that guy on this? I care deeply about women's rights issues. Here's what I'm going to do as President of the United States. Here's what we're going to fight for. Give me the Senate. Give me the House. Those kinds of issues, I think, Steve, as they get into this next election cycle, got to figure out a way to animate stuff, because you cannot just sit behind a podium. Otherwise, Donald Trump, he's very great at entertaining, very good on TV, knows how to, like, kind of keep the attention around him. And you can assume that that's what he'll be doing on a frequent basis.
Two more quick questions. Lots of Americans, overwhelming majority of Americans, believe Donald Trump lost the election. Joe Biden won the election. Joe Biden is president living in the White House. And, you know, Donald Trump won't drop it. He keeps bringing it up. I know people working for Donald Trump who, you know he lost the election, he lost the election. Is that a litmus test internally? And has it just become a non-issue out there politically that people just don't hear that obsession from Donald Trump that he won the election and they're willing to, because they don't agree with him that he lost it, but they still support him? And I'm trying to square that circle as well.
So the president's very passionate in his viewpoints, and I don't think that's going to drop anytime soon. But also keep in mind that there are a lot of issues out there. So say if you're an independent voter, someone who doesn't always tune into politics, and maybe you're frustrated by all the talk, whether it's of any of the elections, you just want to deal with inflation, you want to deal with the crime that's happening in the cities, or you see what happened overseas in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. other places. Like, this is ridiculous. This isn't America. We look so weak on the global stage. And you're going to say, I want someone who can step in and fix it right away. Not someone who's going to give me a bunch of promises. Well, they see what happens with Biden's promises. He's not fulfilling them. And that's why you have the 14 students at Howard University who stood up and turned around and put their backs to President Biden. And one gentleman I saw even had a note on his graduation cap that said, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris don't care about black people. That was a stunning signal to be sent. But it's because Biden and Harris have not delivered on their promises. They know that even if they disagree with President Trump on a number of issues or on personality or something of that, when it comes to delivering on the economy, he's going to get it done.
I have to ask you guys, both of you here real quickly, a surprising thing happened. Matt Gaetz, congressman from Florida, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a congresswoman from New York, have joined together in what's called the Bipartisan Restoring Faith in Government Act that prohibits members of Congress from trading stocks or holding stocks. I would never in my wildest dreams have thought AOC and Matt Gaetz would be on anything ever. So tell me what's going on, and should this restore our faith and hope in bipartisanship in this country?
Well, yes, and it's the right issue, and it should have been done millennia ago. It's crazy. It's outright corruption, and we see this every day with members of Congress on both sides leaving and you know, getting handed these lucrative lobbying jobs that they were advocating for while in government. I'll just say, Joe Biden, you know, who I'm putting up a cards on the table, right? I want him to win re-election. Here's an issue, Steve. Like, this, he sat in government. Senator Biden was in, 30, 40 years in the Senate, never traded stocks, right? Never. Think of how crazy that is, right? Like, that is rare. He's a rare bird. Never held stocks and traded stocks. How many people know that? How many times does he talk about
Zero.
That? How many times does he castigate his own party for not following his own lead on this issue? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about with animation, Steve. It's like, it's crazy to me. If you had that kind of a record, I mean, you know.
So you're making a case for Joe Biden not be the guy that drives passion off the charts.
Yeah.
Jason, your thoughts?
I think it's a great issue. And again, when we talk about the populism aspect of this, I think too many people still look at things being the left and the right. As far as kind of a flat line, when in reality it's much more of a curve. And yes, there are certain many things that you're going to have the populist right disagree with the populist left. But on issues such as government accountability, when we see trading stocks, that is ridiculous. That annoys me. I don't know what words I can use on Al Jazeera without getting in trouble. But it makes me so angry to see these elected officials going out and doing that. And that's where I think President Trump will step in and say, we're going to go and get this law actually passed. We're going to do this. Quite frankly, I think we also need
to. So we just made news there. If he's elected, he's going to pass this into law.
He's already said that he wants to get rid of that members shouldn't be doing that. President Trump has also said he's supportive of term limits. And you have too many folks who spent their entire careers in government. Mm-hmm. Need to rotate that through. And so President Trump's been very good on this. And I also think, too, I know we're getting toward the end of this segment, there are some issues about some of the foreign money coming in with Joe Biden. Maybe that's why he wasn't worried about trading stocks, because he had other cash that was coming in. A lot of that being discussed with Hunter and the DOJ. That's for another segment.
Last quickie, what's the best piece of advice if you were working for President Trump that you would give President Trump, if you're working for President Biden, that you would give to President Biden?
He has to go first.
You go ahead.
If I was giving advice to Joe Biden, I would say only do events between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. because everyone knows that you're not a morning person, you're not an evening person. Your best chance are those few hours in the middle of the day where they can get you pumped up, keep it within that sweet spot.
Fast.
You know, he's not been back on Twitter, Steve. He's not been back on the YouTubes yet or Facebook, and he's still controlling a lot of narrative without actually having been on the platforms that were really responsible for a lot of his rise. And I'm not giving too much advice there, but, you know, there's opportunities for actually more stirring it up, as he likes
to
do.
We could start a business of, like, trading places. Well, with that, thank you for this conversation. Very civil, very interesting, very candid. Jason Miller, senior advisor to the Trump 2024 campaign, and Faz Shakir, senior advisor to Senator Bernie Sanders. Thank you so much for being with us today. This was terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what's the bottom line? We get it. Enthusiasm matters when candidates are trying to get out the vote. The intensity of support these days is tied to strident anti-establishment posturing that attacks some of the main pillars of American society. Donald Trump is at 40% popularity because folks worry about him. And Joe Biden's at about 40% because he's sort of bland. Biden's happy to play the middle, but Trump is willing to go to the extreme. So brace yourselves for another polarizing, intense, take-no-prisoners year ahead. And that's the bottom line.